Good morning. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the first Sunday of Advent. If you somehow missed the subtle clues, we are now beginning the Christmas season and Advent and all that. So this is the official beginning of our church year. So we broke out the blue and the candles and stars and all kinds of things like that. So in just a few moments after the end of announcements, we'll do a lighting of the Advent wreath there. But definitely, we are in the holiday season, to be sure. As part of that, of course, as we mentioned last week, there are all kinds of events going on, so please keep a close eye on your bulletins for the various things. Definitely a thank you. I know there's a little note in here, both to Ron and Artie Hines for the donation of a Christmas tree, but also just all the people that showed up for decorating this week. It was very, very festive as everybody was hurrying around like busy little elves decorating the church. It was really kind of fun. I just provided the music mostly. I put on some Christmas tunes. But other than that, I didn't do a whole lot. But yeah, I know. But yeah, lots of things going on. You'll see Operation Christmas. There's looks like a family fun event coming up next Saturday. A couple different outreach programs. Please keep those in mind. We know that this is an especially important time of year to provide a little help for folks. Not just because it's part of the real Christmas spirit, but also just we know that winter can be a difficult time, and there are lots of people around the world that could use our help. And in our area, of course, as well. But other luncheons, it looks like there's all sorts of things going on that way. Of course, we have the blessing box today. Another thing to keep in mind, too, we know sometimes the holiday season can be a difficult time for some people for one reason or another, just emotionally or spiritually. So First Lutheran in Aiken is holding a blue Christmas service on Thursday, December 20th. So that's maybe a little more down-tempo kind of an experience if you've never been to that, but just a way to help recognize that this can be a difficult time for people. So please keep that in mind on your calendars as well. Then, of course, coming up this week, there's a few meetings on Wednesday in terms of centennial meetings, worship and music committee on Thursday. And then I believe also today they're collecting, there is the first day for poinsettias to be on sale. So if you want to order some poinsettias, please, I assume they'll be out in the fellowship hall during the social hour. Anything else that I possibly missed? Are we going to do that little different stuff as the last hymn? Are we going to try that? The leader, the response? Okay, all right. Never mind then. All right. Okay.
We do have one more thing. Next week, the praise team, it's our week. We are going to do a little potluck afterwards, and we're going to go caroling. So if anybody wants to come caroling with the praise team and the choir members that want to, we would love to have you go. Kind of let us know, maybe up here, so we kind of know. If we have a large group, we're going to try to split off, and some go south and some go north. If not, we're going to get them all. So if you have any ideas of who you would like us to go see, let us know, and we'll
try to
call, okay? So next week, caroling.
All right. Warm up your voices this week. So, all right, anything else we need to share at this time? All right, well then let us have the lighting of our Advent wreath. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You call nations to walk in your light and to seek your ways of justice and peace. For the night is past, and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us as we light the first candle of this wreath. Rouse us from sleep, that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes and welcome him into our hearts and homes, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever. Amen. And our opening hymn is hymn 759.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, you proved your faithfulness to your people when they cried out to you in distress. Be present in our distress and show us how to be faithful to you in the midst of suffering. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God, he is here.
Our first and main reading this morning is from the book of Habakkuk, the first, second, third, and third chapters. Our reading begins. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Look at the nations and see. Be astonished. Be astounded. For a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth and seize dwellings not their own. Dread and fearsome are they. Their justice and dignity proceed from themselves. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Look at the proud, their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by faith. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The brightness was like the sun. Rays came forth from his hand, where his power lay hidden. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed close behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered. Along his ancient pathways, the everlasting hills sank low. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. To the leader with stringed instruments. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. And our gospel response this morning is from the gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I've been here at Bethesda Lutheran Church for over a year now, and it's probably become clear to you by now, when it comes to books or movies or other forms of media, one of my favorite genres is crime and justice. And as to the cause, I will go with my standard reply, my standard excuse, and blame my parents. traditional thing of children everywhere, I'm sure. My dad also has a fascination with true crime stories, especially the mob. I remember as a teenager, reading one of his books on Sammy the Bull Gravano, who ratted out John Gotti and had to go into the witness protection program and things like that. I remember watching and reading, of course, To Kill a Mockingbird and Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. Even my mother, ever a fan of audiobooks on long car rides, often included a John Grisham book on tape during various trips to the Black Hills or Montana or the North Woods of Minnesota. And still, and so, of course, to this day, you know, and amongst other interests, I do have others. True and fictional crime stories certainly do have a healthy rotation on Netflix or on podcasts as I'm driving in my car. But there are those times, as we should all, I suppose, do, when a person reevaluates the things that they supposedly like. And I do wonder what the heck I'm thinking by subjecting myself to all these stories. You know, you either feel bad for the poor victim, for the efforts of these investigators and lawyers as they try to find the party responsible and bring them to justice. Or this maybe the story focuses on the poor, innocent person that's been roped into being accused of this crime and by some overeager prosecutor or a broken justice system. You know, as a pastor, you share in a lot of the joyous moments of people's lives, but of course you also share in the difficult times too. And so I wonder to myself, why do I subject myself to these things that just make me feel sad or angry, right? That the news can be depressing enough as it is. Why do I heap more upon myself? It makes us feel overwhelmed at times, doesn't it, when we get all this meat, whether or not we seek it out or it just simply comes at us from all directions. All this depressing news, and we wonder, why do we put up with it? Why do we just not go live in a shack somewhere out in the woods with a few cases of wine and just, you know, not worry about it all, right? Or, you know, root beer, I guess, if that's your thing. Right? You start to wonder, can I really change anything? I'm just one person. At the end of the day, does justice really win out in a world so seemingly filled with cruelty and injustice? We had a humorous, half-humorous, half-serious debate this week about Advent, about this opening season of our church year. I think it was mostly humorous, wasn't it? Or was it mostly serious? I don't know. About how Advent can be sometimes a bit of a downer, partly in due, I think, you know, to its history a bit. Originally, it was sort of a little Lent or a Lent part two. That's why sometimes you'll still see some purple candles during the season of Advent. In more modern church history, we've been kind of switching to the blue to make it more of a season of hopefulness, a season of expectation. But even in that, of course, right, there's a little bit of a tension that isn't quite as happy as maybe we're trying to feel with all of our Christmas spirit, right? If it's a season of hope and expectation, right, well, expectation usually implies that we have to hold off on the good stuff, right? We have to hold off on the wonder and the joy of Christmas. We got to keep the tree and the lights in the box for a few more weeks. We got to wait to break out the cookies, break out the Christmas music. You know, should we really have to wait 4 whole weeks before we do all of that to just in order to create some dramatic tension? I mean, it's a hard sell. I know it's a hard sell for some of us more than others. But, you know, why would we deny ourselves the joy of Christmas if we can just have it right now, right? We need it right now. Our world is, it's been a rough year, you know. Why not just jump right into Christmas as soon as possible? And I think good old Habakkuk or Habakkuk or however you want to pronounce it. We don't often read from Habakkuk that often. I think he would agree with us. He, unlike a lot of the prophets who just sort of take the bad news in stride and then, you know, call the people to repentance, you know, there's a good section in the beginning of Habakkuk where it's not the people that Habakkuk is calling to repentance. It's not people that the sinful generation of Israel or the people of Israel that Habakkuk is taking to task. It's not necessarily even the Babylonians, but it's God. It's God that Habakkuk is asking difficult questions of. It's God that Habakkuk is directing his lament towards. Right? We heard those opening words. God, why is there all these horrible things that are happening and are going to happen, right? You told me all these horrible things are going to happen and you're telling me to tell that to the people, but seriously, if you know the bad thing is going to happen, why don't you just stop the bad thing from happening? I think Habakkuk is the kind of prophet that we would imagine ourselves being, right? If we had the nerve to ask God those kinds of questions. And unfortunately, Habakkuk doesn't necessarily get the answer he's hoping for. You know, here's poor Habakkuk. He's living on the cusp of the exile that, of course, we so often hear about, and especially these last few weeks as we've had this series on the prophets. The Israelites had mostly survived their encounter with the Assyrians. Now here comes the Babylonians, a new player on the stage, and soon enough they're going to destroy much of Israel. They're going to take many of its people into exile, into Babylon. You know, Habakkuk doesn't need podcasts or Netflix to face down some difficult news. He has God kind of talking in his ear about the challenges that awaits the people of Israel. And Habakkuk is fairly unique in that he is not super happy about this news, or at least unhappy in the way that he directs his questions back at God. You know, it is an important fact of our faith. I think it's an important aspect of our faith that we do need to be willing to ask God these difficult questions. To ask God, why is there violence? Why is there suffering in this world? And God would probably tell us the answer is that, well, yeah, look in the mirror, right? If you want to know why there's suffering in this world, look at yourselves. Look at the things that you do. But we do certainly want a different answer. And certainly a different answer than Habakkuk gets. God basically says, well, wait. I do care about justice. I do care about my people. I am a loving God, but you have to wait. You have to be patient. Habakkuk wants Christmas right now. He wants the joy and the wonder right now. But God says, wait. And that's hard for us to wait. And sometimes I wonder if this whole tension is just because God operates on a different time scale than we do, right? When you're an immortal deity, you know, days and weeks and years, they don't mean a whole lot. But for us as human beings, they can mean a whole lot. They can certainly seem to mean a whole lot. We just operate on a different scale than God does. But the challenge, of course, and the lesson, I suppose, of Habakkuk is that even though he doesn't get any answers, his faith does remain. He does hold on, maybe just by the tips of his fingers, but Habakkuk holds on. He trusts that God's justice will win out. He trusts that it will have its day. And God also does sort of remind him, and this is always the difficult message, I think, of prophets in general, is that justice is a two-edged sword. Justice and judgment, in fact, often in Hebrew, they often use the exact same word. That's certainly the case in some of these passages from Habakkuk. Bringing justice means bringing judgment. You know, as much as justice will lift up the downtrodden, it will also bring the sinful to repentance. And if they don't get brought to repentance, well, then God will wipe away what is sinful and broken. Whether or not we see God actively subcontracting out to the Babylonians or not, I guess that's a matter of theological debate. But I think we do count ourselves lucky that we sort of hope that that's not the way that God works anymore. God probably doesn't work that way anymore. I think we have to be careful about that kind of a thing. Certainly there are those on the extremes that whenever there's some hurricane or tornado, you know, the crazies come out of the woodwork and imagine this sin or another being the cause for that. And I think we do have to be extraordinarily careful about that. But I think we can count ourselves lucky that we are on the New Testament side of that equation. Not that Jesus always sugarcoats everything either. But I think one thing that we see that comes with the gift of Jesus Christ, you know, it's not that we aren't sinless anymore. It's not that there aren't things that still aren't broken. It's not that there aren't things that need to be either thrown out or replaced, things that need to be rebuilt into something new, something designed and shaped by the love of God. But we do have that gift of Jesus Christ. Right, there's still the two-edged sword of justice and judgment. You know, it cuts both ways. We have to be careful asking for justice because we may be the ones that, we might be just as benefited from that justice as we might be taken to task by that justice and that judgment. But with the promise of Jesus Christ, we know that even though justice still reigns, the judgment is met with mercy. That as we seek forgiveness, it will be granted. That we do not have to earn the love of God, that it is a free gift to us, the most precious gift that we could receive, even during the Christmas season. And that doesn't necessarily mean that life is smooth sailing. Sin, of course, is still at work in our world. But it isn't just Habakkuk that gets a beautiful vision of God's future. It is all of us. Even when we are surrounded by despair, even when we surround ourselves with despair through the media that we consume, God is hard at work helping us find moments of hope. Working through our friends and our families, our communities of faith, our neighbors, strangers that we maybe have never even met. God is helping us to have, I love that line that we read near the end, that helping us to have feet like the feet of a deer. And I admit that that's probably a better message outside of deer hunting season, right? Or all the deer that might run into your car. But work with me on this, right? The feet of a deer, it's not just the swift feet of a deer that might swiftly run in front of your car, but that those feet of a deer also help us over rough terrain, right? Deer's feet are a little more capable than our own feet in some respects. It can see us through, it can move us swiftly, but it can also help us over the difficult and the rocky ground that might lie before us. And so we do have hope. Hope is one of God's greatest gifts to us. And with that, hope may not always be realized as soon as we would like. We may not want to wait one day. We might not want to wait 4 weeks. We might not want to wait years and years. Sometimes the scale of God's renewal is a little bit slower than we would like. But we aren't wrong to maybe bring our difficult questions to God. Why isn't it now? Why isn't it here? Right here, right now, why must we wait? But we can be assured that it will come. The goodness of the Lord will come. Wait and see. Amen. You always want to leave them wanting more, you know. All right. Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we await the coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the Church, the world, and all of creation. Equip your church, merciful God. Secure our roots in the soil of your eternal word. Ease our worries and remove our shame. Grow our faithfulness and let your steadfast love blossom among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sustain your creation, holy God. Water the parched soil. Restore depleted fields. Send farmers, forest rangers, and gardeners to care for fig trees and wheat fields, gardens and arboretums. Increase our love for the land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grow peace within us, abundant God. Raise up leaders in every community, grounded in your justice and mercy. Increase their love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Feed the hungry, living God. Gather our harvest into a feast for our neighbors. Move us to nurture those who are bereaved and lonely. Empower those living with HIV and AIDS and all who are sick. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Increase our joy, wondrous God. Plant thanksgiving in our hearts and multiply the good fruit of our outreach ministries and creation care programs. Guide us in our service to local and global neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers of this community this day. We remember in prayer Melody Lackner, Cleo O'Brien, Gary Hansen, and all our members who need your support in body, mind, or spirit. We also pray for all those around our country and around the world, O God, as they prepare for the celebration of Christmas, as they celebrate in all manner of celebrations. Keep us safe and help us to celebrate the true meaning of this holiday. We also, of course, remember in prayer all those suffering in the wake of natural disasters in California and around the globe. And we also remember, of course, in our prayers today, the family of former President George Bush as they mourn his passing. And now we lift up all those other prayers that are in our hearts and on our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. In thanksgiving, O God, we remember all those who have died and now rest in your glory. Hold all those who mourn in the comfort of your eternal light and bring us to delight in the new life you promise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers and those unspoken. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Holy God, the beginning and the end, our salvation and our hope, we praise you for creating a world of order and beauty. When we brought on chaos, cruelty, and despair, you sent the prophets to proclaim your justice and mercy. At this, the end of the ages, your Son, Jesus Christ, came to bring us your love and to heal all the suffering world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection. Whoops. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await his coming again in righteousness and peace. Send your Spirit on us and on this bread and wine we share. Strengthen our faith, increase our hope, and bring to birth the justice and joy of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God fills the hungry with good things. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All are welcome. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is on the is in your bulletin, and we'll all sing it in unison.
Salt for the earth, O people.
Salt for the kingdom of God.
Share the flavor of life, O people.
Life in the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy. Bring forth the kingdom of peace. Bring forth the kingdom of justice. Bring forth the city of God.
Love our journey and love our